one of the United Methodist Church Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Southampton, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 29, 2016, or it is the 25th day of the fourth month, 2020. We will start our first service did a song entitled A Sweet By and By. There's a land that is heaven day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, for the sigh for the blessing of blessed. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Say, O bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our name. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Part 4, Behold, I Make All Things New. We're on page 56 of our tract by the V.T. Harlow. This is tract number 9 by him. Okay, we're on page 56, but we're going to do further prayer thought taken from 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, this epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Messiah and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Yahweh the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of the judgment and perdition of unrighteous men. Okay, now, we have evil people in the world that have been in the leadership role of the nations of the world. They're all evil. And they're striving to hold on to the leadership position. We have Donald Trump has arisen in the earth. He's got a conscience, and he's morally a good man. As far as the world looks on good people, he wants people to be he wants them to be successful and happy. And he wants everybody to enjoy a lavish lifestyle of all people, races and all. And so, therefore, he has risen up in the earth, and now he's got these evil people that are in charge of the governments of the world. They're lashing out at him, against him. And they're saying that he wants to do to the world what they've already done to the world, and that is to destroy. They say that's what Donald Trump wants to do. But Donald Trump wants to reverse their antics. He wants to reverse what they have done in every way so that they can recover the earth. And so that's his intention. Yahweh raised him up, put it into his heart to do that, gave him the money, gave him the knowledge and wisdom of how to go about it. And he's raising up other people now in other nations, in Britain, British people that have made a move to separate from the global society and become independent again. A man named Boris Johnson has risen up and leading an independent move to make Britain once again an independent nation. So, and then there's other nations that are talking the same language. They're wanting to pull off from the global elite and the globalization of the world, and they want to become independent nations again. So we have a prophecy where it talks about these 10 horns that's on this beast representing all the leaders of the nations of the world, and they have crowns on their horns. And they show that they are individual nations independently ruled by their own government that they have set up for themselves. Now it says these 10 kings rise in the earth, and they rise on this leopard-like beast that comes out of the earth and comes up out of the sea, and whenever our government was formed in 1776, more or less. So there you have these 10 horns showed up on that leopard-like beast and it came up out of the sea, representing that beast, representing the Vatican, all told, coming to this country. But those 7 horns had crowns on them, showing that they had their own independent rule. And the prophecy shows they had lent their power to this beast for 1 hour. Well, that's the hour we're in now. But it says that they're going to have a little season that they're going to have their own kingdom again to themselves. So we see now what's happened. It looks like they're heading in that direction to have their own independent kingdoms. And the only way they can have that is for Donald Trump to overthrow this government here in the United States and then make an ally with these other rulers of these nations. And he said he was going to do that one nation at a time, bilaterally. So, you see what's going on here. You can't take and put all the nations together and say we're going to make one treaty with all these 10 nations that represents all the kings of the world. You can't lump them all together and say we're going to make one blanket treaty with all of them, a trade agreement with all of them, to be equal. No, you have to take one nation at a time. That's what Donald Trump is advocating. But the other side, the globalists, are advocating, no, we don't do that. We all join one union, all nations, and when the head of these nations, this globalist, make a decision, then all the nations have to fall in line behind it. That's what you call New World Order. That's what you call world dominance by the Catholic Church, more or less. Okay. So it says in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Yeshua as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. So, we worry about getting old in this old world, and 100 years is not very long, and we're saying, well, according to man's time, most I've got is about 20 years left in this world. I reach close to 100 years old, my time is up. But what if you take it one day at a time, and you follow all your health laws, and you strive to follow all the commandments and statutes and judgments and do them, then what is time then? Time don't mean nothing. You're in eternity. Time don't mean anything. 2 Peter 3:9. The Yahshua is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Yahshua will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Yahshua, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according unto his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth. I put the article in there that was missing, that article V, look for the new heavens and new earth. And I put the new earth and look for the new earth. Okay, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, you see, apparently all these planets out there that's going to be burned up and dissolved, they've got inhabitants on them. And no doubt you have a righteous remnant there on those planets just like you have here. And no doubt they're he's going to save the righteous off of those planets. We know that he's going to save the sons of man off those planets. And what about the rest of it? He's going to dissolve. He's going to destroy the whole universe. Matter of fact, that's what he's going to do. The stars are going to fall from heaven. The planets are going to be dissolved. The heavens are going to, when it says the heavens are going to be on fire, you mean that just that atmosphere out there, the heavens are going to be on fire? No, it's those planets that are in those heavens. You have to have something. If you're going to have a fire, you got to have something that you can put a fire to. It's those planets that's going to be on fire. Okay, they're going to explode with a great thunder. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Savior is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according unto the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Okay, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Yeshua, and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Unto him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's read that again, verse 18, the last one. Only grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our King and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Unto him be glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go for the next part of our prayer thoughts. It's going to be taken from Revelation 17 and maybe 18, but it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now we have a woman in the world, that's a famous person, that fits the description of this woman that I'm reading to you about, and that's Hillary Rodham Clinton. And when I say she fits the description, it's because her and her husband both have traversed the whole world, and they have promised the kings of nations untold benefits if they will put money into their foundation, millions of dollars, and that when they become the rulers of the world one day, that they'll reward them. And so the rulers of the world have fallen for this, and they have contributed millions of dollars unto their foundations around the world. Hillary Rodham and Bill Clinton, her husband, have set up these foundations in the name of charitable foundations and this and that. And whenever they have a natural disaster in the world, the people send in donations from all over the world to their foundation to take care of these natural disasters. And instead of taking care of these natural disasters and helping the poor people out that are suffering from the disasters, they appropriate the money to themselves and they have scoundrel with billions of dollars. And they become filthy rich from deceiving and lying to the rulers of these nations where they set up these foundations. So this is Mystery Babylon. This is how she has worked. And we got to literally have a woman in the earth, Hillary Clinton, that's fulfilling the physical outward design of such a real person. All right. It says in Revelation 17, verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination of filthiness of her fornication. In the corner forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of the Yeshua. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Okay, here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which a woman sitteth. Alright, now, here is a mind which hath wisdom. Whoever has a mind that's got this, has this wisdom about how to interpret these seven heads and seven mountains, well, the seven heads represents the seven churches of Asia Minor. And they're named in Revelation chapter 1. And it starts out with Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Well, the Laodicea represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. And so the Laodicea represented the city of Laodicea back over 2,000 years ago, where Laodicea literally was the city that had its existence and a name, Laodicea. And these seven heads represents those seven churches. And they all had a candlestick showing that they were a church of Israel. So, in other words, those heads represent believers and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they have apostatized and they have been taken captive by this woman, Mystery Babylon. Okay? Now, one of those heads is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. One of those heads is also the Roman Catholic Church, one of these seven heads. The Roman Catholic Church and the Seventh-day Adventist Church are represented only by one of those seven heads on that beast. Keep that in mind. Because the Catholic Church and the Adventist Church have teamed up here in these last days to deceive everybody that has joined the House of Israel from 1844 to up to even now, 2016. Okay, so the beast that thou sawest was and is not. Okay, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and other beasts that carries her. The seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. That's your book of seven seals. First seal belongs to Adam. Okay. When they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. So now, what is this seven mountains? It says the seven heads are seven mountains. The mountains also depicted as churches, but the mountain shows that the head just shows a church, but the mountain shows the headquarters for that church. It has a mountain, it has a headquarters. And that could be more than one church, like the Baptist Church is represented by one head, but it has many churches all over the world. So they have a headquarters, a general conference headquarters, that they all have to answer to. So that represents your mountain. You have the mountain of the house of Yahweh. In other words, the headquarters of the house of Yahweh, on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Okay, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. Okay. And the beast that was and is not even, he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Okay, now what is that? And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Well, the beast that was, it was the seventh one, the scarlet-colored beast, seen in the woods that the woman was riding on. And there comes a time when he don't exist no more. And that woman is taken and destroyed. And is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. So perdition means into everlasting burning fire, going into perdition. Okay. Now, Judas Iscariot was called the son of perdition. And he got his judgment called the night he betrayed his master, Yahshua. He also lost his life. He never saw the sun rise again. He went out and betrayed his master with 30 pieces of silver, and he never saw the sun rise again because he killed himself. And he committed suicide. And so he was called a son of perdition, meaning his end has come right now. Once he did his dastardly deed, then his end has come right now. Well, it says right there in Revelation 19, for instance, 19:20. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning brimstone. So it shows you right there that the beast, which is a Revelation 13, says it's a man. Now let's look at that. Revelation 13 says he's a man. He said, verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So who is that beast then that has that number 666 that represents that new world order? Obama. Okay, well, who's that false prophet then? Okay, he's the one that is the religious part of this beast. And that is Joe Biden, his vice president. He's a crowned Knights of the Round Table member of the Catholic Church. He's like those Jesuits. He's one of them high-ordered people that's planted in there to be the vice president, that he could give these secret counsel to the president every day, Obama, without anybody knowing of where it's coming from or anything. He's a false prophet. And so that says in Revelation 19:20, he says that... and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet had wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning brimstone. So who does the beast and false prophet represent? The beast is your Antichrist, is your Satan incarnate in human flesh, which is nothing but a devil in human flesh. And so is Joe Biden, the false prophet, is also a devil in human flesh. He's one of those demons. And so they're both, and those that they had deceived and taken the mark of the beast, they're both cast alive in the lake of fire. Okay, now, let's go back to Revelation 17. It says, verse 10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Okay, how many phases are there of this here fourth beast?
Daniel saw in vision, this nondescript beast that represented pagan Romans across, the one that had the 10 horns on his head without crowns, representing pagan Rome. How many faces did he have? Well, he had a second face during the 1260 years in the wilderness, where the woman was also at, crossing from 538 to 1798. That was the second phase of that beast. This third phase was the leopard-like beast on Prophecy, Revelation 13. His third phase was a little horn, two-horned beast, Revelation 13:11. His fourth phase was a scarlet-colored beast seen in the wilderness. And his fifth phase is when he goes into perdition, comes on the other side as the number 8, which was of the 7. So how many phases do you have of this nondescript beast? He had 5 phases. Okay, how many kingdoms were there before this beast came up that represented pagan Rome? You had 3 others. You had Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. 5 phases of the nondescript beast to the end of time. 3 in front of him, that's 8. 8 means a new world order. And that's what it says. That number 7 became the 8th, and because he was of the 7. Ain't this amazing? I've always liked numbers. That's how I made my living for 50 years with numbers. Okay, yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and read now. In verse 12, Revelation 17. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Okay, Euro nations. 28 nations have joined up to form the Euro bloc nations, with Brussels, Belgium as being their headquarters, where they have the largest computer in the world that houses every name on planet Earth in it, and it's called the Beast. And so all your Euro nations have joined in union with that beast. But now they're breaking off one at a time, starting with Great Britain. Okay? So, it means when they break off, they said, oh, we're free, we're free, we're free again. Great Britain said, we're free at last, we're free at last. Says, we had given our freedom away when we agreed to join the Euro Union. We gave our freedom and the power to the beast. Now we've taken back our freedom from the beast. Okay. So it says many other nations are lining up to do the same thing. So whenever they do that, that means they're in Daniel 7:26. It's not going to be hard then for the saints that possess the kingdom in Daniel 7:22-27 to consume and destroy that beast until the end. You read about it. Alright, now I said, and the 10 horns thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So they had power for 1 hour with the beast. But after that, their hour was up, they didn't have the finances to continue on to support that beast. Because that beast says, you've got to come up with a lot of money to pay your dues to be a member that belongs to be a member of me. So you're going to have a lot of money. The Great Britain says, we don't have the money no more. We're pulling out. And Germany says, oh my goodness, we're going to have to pay what Great Britain used to pay, and that's $3 billion. A year. Oh my, we can't afford that, and so Germany is going to have to pull out. France says, oh well, we can't pick up the tab of these nations that's pulling out. But the British is saying, yeah, somebody's got to pay me. And so now France says, I want to pull out. And now they got 5 nations right off the reel want to pull out because they don't want to be burdened down with paying that tab and being under the rule of another power when they used to have their own independent autonomy. Now they want to go back and take their independence and self-rule back. Now that's what you have right here. these 10 hundred thousand souls or 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, have received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Because that's the Euro nations. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. So the Euro nations, when they all joined up 43 years ago, started forming the Euro nations, give their authority and power and money to this beast in Brussels, Belgium, and they surrendered their independent autonomy. But they continued on as independent individual nations, not independent but individual. But they had to take their orders from the beast on stuff like military and economy and education and so forth. Okay, these have one mind and give their power and strength unto thee. So they give their mind, they give their power and strength unto that beast. He shall make war with the Lamb. The reason why they give their power and strength to that beast is that they're teaming up to make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is sovereign of sovereign and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen faithful. But did you know what? These Euro nations have made a declaration that they're all against Israel. And they have all of these 28 bloc nations of the Euro nations, they've all determined that they're going to finance the Palestinians overtaking of Israel. And they have gone in there and poured millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into the land of Israel through these Palestinians to build on land that doesn't belong to them in Israel, and the Euro Union has financed all of that. And it says now, that's how they were making a war against the Lamb. These Euro nations they formed, there's 28 bloc nations. Brussels, Belgium, which has this, is the head of the Euro nation, is the ruling power over the Euro nation. And they was one that gave the order that all those European nations must send their money to the Palestinians and help them overthrow Israel. And so they supported the terrorists. France supported the terrorists. France was called that bloc. And so there you have it. You have them making war with the Lamb. That's how they make war with the Lamb. Okay, but now what's happening? All of a sudden, they're losing the battle. They're losing the battle. The beast then shows what he's really made out of, and so the nation, we don't want to be no more part of this beast. Because they had joined up to fight against the Lamb with this beast leading the way. Now they're saying, hey, we're losing this battle, we want out of here. Alright, look at this. And it says, verse 15, he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest for the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore. They're going to hate that woman, Hillary Clinton, Rodham Clinton, and shall make her desolate and naked. How are they going to make her desolate and naked? They're going to strip her of her power for one thing. They're going to take over her charitable foundation that her husband set up around the world and all these nations that has taken in billions of dollars. And they're going to take all of that away from them. They're going to take them and set them on fire and eat their flesh and burn them with fire, this woman. They're going to take all of her ill-gotten gains away from her, and they're going to give it to the poor people that they've stolen it from, and they're going to take them out and burn them with fire and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And it says right there, for Elohim has put in their hearts, these nations, these European bloc nations, to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast, Brussels, Belgium, 1973, that's when they formed it, The words of Elohim shall be fulfilled, and the one which thou sawest is that great city. What's that city? Babylon, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So why have these European bloc nations given their autonomy and their rule to the beast? Because the beast rules over them through Mystery Babylon. And the woman shall saw us as that great city which reigneth over the king of the earth. Let us go right on into Revelation 18. Now let's read the last verse of Revelation 17, which is verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest, Hillary Rodham Clinton, is the woman that represents that great city Babylon, which reigneth over all the kings of the earth. Okay? Now you get that? And the woman, Hillary Rodham Clinton, which thou sawest, literally in the person, is the one that represents that great city Babylon. So, they say she's going to become president no matter what. Of course, you're blocking all the truth about her, all of her crooked evilness. They won't allow it to come out, and they won't allow no indictments. They won't allow no court trial or nothing. They're just pushing her right on to be president because they're all in on the scheme. Because they all have been doing crookedness together. So the courts and this president we have right now, this year, what we call the beast that's going to be cast in the lake of fire, is protecting her. And because they're protecting themselves, because they've all been in on it. On the conspiracy to destroy the world. Revelation 18:1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the whole very foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Okay. So when the Clintons, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton goes and set up a charitable foundation like over in India, and then they have a natural disaster over there, and that devastates millions of people's lives, and so the world starts sending in millions of dollars and everything through the Clinton Foundation to take care of these poor people. The Clintons take all this money and they appropriate to themselves and the secret bank accounts somewhere else in another nation. And so it says that the... And then the merchants of the earth that are in on this, they know that if they get a lot of money sent to that foundation, that they're going to get a lot of it distributed back to these merchants that have committed fornication with her. So it says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and they've done business with her. Illegal business, that is, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So, she gets all this money donated to her foundation, and then she hands out and doles out, the reward money to those that help contribute to her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. That she be not partakers of a sin that she received not of her plague. So you see why this Mystery Babylon has to be brought to the light now? You see why she has to be brought to the light? Because Yahweh's people are found in her yet. And that's going to be the last call for salvation for those that are not in the kingdom at the first call. Second and last call will be to come out of Babylon. and into his sinless kingdom that's under his protection here on this earth. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities. Now let's read that verse 5 again. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Yahweh hath remembered her iniquities. Talking about this mystery of Babylon. So we know that Hillary Clinton is at the end of her days. She's been going for a good 30 plus years, wreaking havoc on the world. And she's around 70 years old, approaching 70. She's at the end of her days. She don't, and yet she's trying to exalt herself to the pinnacle of the ruler of this world. Her whole ambition is to be the ruler of this world. And she thinks that's what she's predestined to be. But at the same time, that's when she comes to her end. At the time when she thinks she's going to ascend to the pinnacle of the world. It says, verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. Well, her record shows that for 30 years she has rewarded people evil for good, even to the point of murder. That's how she's rewarded people that got in her way. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according unto her works. Now, this is talking about specifically about this Mr. Babylon woman, which Hillary Clinton represents. In the cup which she has filled up, filled unto her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. You know, they showed a picture of four mansions the other day on television. They wanted people to guess at which famous person, a politician, lives in these four mansions. And everybody guessed, everybody but Hillary Clinton. And so nobody could guess it right. And they said, would you believe that Hillary Clinton owns all four of these mansions? And they're worth all of them together probably close to $100 million. For she says in her heart, I said a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And they say that she got a cough now, that she keeps coughing. An unexplained cough that just comes on her while she's talking, telling all them lies, and she can't hardly stop coughing and deliver her message. And they say it's something that nobody knows what's causing it. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Yahweh Elohim who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Stand afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour, that's here in the 12th hour, is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusts after are departed from thee. All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. For the merchants of those things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, I'll put the word Babylon in there, it's not in there, that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour, in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now, so great riches has come to know. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate, here in the 12th hour. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, 144,000. For Elohim hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of millstones shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. For by thy sorcery, by the sorceries of this woman, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So this mystery Babylon has been in existence since the Garden of Eden. She ran parallel along with that woman in white linen that represents the purified congregation, the church of Israel today. They were rocking along pretty good here. Looks like our prayer thought taking us about 52 minutes, song and all, out of our sermon. We're on page 56 of this here, Behold, I Make All Things New. I'll just read a little bit of it, bring this service to a close. It says, This is after the city of the 144,000, the first truth, come the great multitude from all nations. And this is after Mr. Babylon has been dissolved and taken care of. This all takes place now, after Mr. Babylon has been found out and taken care of, and this woman has been burnt and eaten her flesh and burnt as fire, and Babylon is no more. Then that's when Yahweh goes forth with his people, because the freedom now, people of all nations now have freedom to make a choice to either serve Yahweh willingly or not, and to join his kingdom. You don't have anything interfering with them doing it now. Thus, as after the sailing of the 144,000, the first fruits, come the second, the great multitude from all nations. The latter can logically only be called the second fruits, otherwise 144,000 cannot be called the first fruit. But where there is no second, there can be no first. And the first fruits, 144,000, be a living thing. So also, therefore, are the second fruits, the great multitude. The first fruits, moreover, being analogous to the firstborn of the priest, are therefore the ministers, the servants of Yahweh, those who are to bring in the second fruit. Prophesying of the separation of the one and of the ingathering of the other, Isaiah declares, for by fire and by his sword shall Yeshua plead with all flesh, and the strength of Yahweh shall remain it. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations of Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, and Avan, and to the isles afar. They have not heard my fame, now they have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. How are they going to travel? they're going to travel in flying saucers, because there's not going to be any people, and there's not going to be any airline pilots that can fly these airplanes and take the 144,000 to go and get all their brethren in them. They can't do that because they're not going to be around. They didn't come through the judgment, so they can't go and work with the saints and flying them around the world to do their work. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yahshua out of all nations upon horses, and in your chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain. If they're close local by, they're going to come any way they can travel. They find them a mule standing there, and they just jump on his back and say, let's go. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:16-20. Okay. Note that those who escape the slaughter of the Yahweh are sent to proclaim His fame and to show forth His glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring all their brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations. They shall, in other words, preach the gospel of their kingdom, and all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. This great work, which no others have ever been able to accomplish, these escaped ones will be caused because in their mouth is found no guile. The fact that 144,000 are without guile in their mouth shows that as servants of Yahweh, they have a message to proclaim, and that they are to be found blameless in their proclaiming of that message. Speaking the truth and nothing but the truth, they shall prosper wherever they go with the message, although they are sent with it. Okay, I believe we're getting close to the end of our study for this hour. Let's go ahead and read this last part. It says, when the winds are loosed and blowing, the angels holding back the winds at the four corners of the earth denote that they are holding back some worldwide trouble, which, should it break out while the church is in her Laodicean condition, that is before the 144,000 or so, would block the stadium. And from this fact, it follows that immediately after the 144,000 or so, the trouble will begin, signalizing the angels loosing the winds with this trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Daniel 12:1. For the great multitude is to be brought face to face while being called out of Babylon, mystery Babylon, we just read about it, Revelation 18, verse 4, into the kingdom. This brings in our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. If not, click on our audio archive to hear this message. The more or less close now with a song. Swing those pearly gates wide by Elijah Davis. May you are striving for a little bit of heaven. I'm a striving too. My heart is set on the senses of gold somewhere beyond the blue. Bells are ringing and the angels are singing. Swing those pearly gates wide. It's gonna be a grand celebration. Bells are ringing, the angels are singing, and the saints are singing too. Heaven has opened its door to the bonfire too. For the grandest event of all time is finally over. For the celebration is about to begin, the swing of the pearly gates. I've walked the path my Savior taught me, trials I've had to endure. I have my treasures laid up in a heavenly place secure. Yahshua, the Father, and the Guardian Angel, all me in the personal dream. Never for a moment will I ever forget they have come for me. There are many people in this world have a lot to say. But the things that's going on, as we counting will be done and how it will come out. The ruler has to be a change of things have done. People are searching for hidden treasure in the master's way. It ain't the nugget in there and has never heard. And again, amen, never be able to understand. And yes, but they keep saying to hold up the invisible hand. Well, the time has come for everyone to roll up their sleeves and go to work for the harvesting of the golden sheep. There's no place in the kingdom for tomorrow's anger free. Only for the faithful ones who take their hold and believe. Everyone can be aware of all the happy is part. It takes faith and a lot of believing and a hold of do or die. Drop it on the ground, it's a salvation. Come on with me. Together, it's yours for the magical day that will bring eternal peace. Never had any end of the singing and the things are singing too. Heaven has opened its door to the one starting soon. And a friend is even a four kind of family of life. All the celebrations have got to begin so soon.